"What in the name of Merlin," said Ron slowly as they followed Neville, "was that about?" Harry did not answer. He knew exactly why the subject of people who were in St. Mungo's because of magical damage to their brains was highly distressing to Neville, but he had sworn to Dumbledore that he would not tell anyone Neville's secret. Even Neville did not know that Harry knew. Harry, Ron, and Hermione took their usual seats at the back of the class and pulled out parchment quills and their copies of 1,000 magical herbs and fungi. The class around them was whispering about what Neville had just done. But when Snape closed the dungeon door with an echoing bang, everybody fell silent immediately. "You will notice," said Snape in his low, sneering voice, "that we have a guest with us today." He gestured toward the dim corner of the dungeon, and Harry saw Professor Umbridge sitting there, clipboard on her knee. He glanced sideways at Ron and Hermione, his eyebrows raised. Snape and Umbridge, the two teachers he hated most. It was hard to decide which he wanted to triumph over the other. "We are continuing with our strengthening solutions today. You will find your mixtures as you left them last lesson. If correctly made, they should have matured well over the weekend. Instructions," he waved his wand again, "on the board. Carry on." Professor Umbridge spent the first half hour of the lesson making notes in her corner. Harry was very interested in hearing her question Snape, so interested that he was becoming careless with his potion again. "Salamander blood, Harry," Hermione moaned, grabbing his wrist to prevent him adding the wrong ingredient for the third time. "Not pomegranate juice."
Right,
said Harry vaguely, putting down the bottle and continuing to watch the corner. Umbridge had just gotten to her feet.
"Ah,"
he said softly as she strode between two lines of desks towards Snape, who was bending over Dean Thomas's cauldron.
"Well, the class seems fairly advanced for their level,"
she said briskly to Snape's back.
"Though I would question whether it is advisable to teach them a potion like the strengthening solution. I think the Ministry would prefer it if that was removed from the syllabus."
Snape straightened up slowly and turned to look at her.
"Now, how long have you been teaching at Hogwarts?"
she asked, her quill poised over her clipboard.
14 years,
Snape replied. His expression was unfathomable. Harry, watching him closely, added a few drops to his potion. It hissed menacingly and turned from turquoise to orange.
"You applied first for the Defense Against the Dark Arts post, I believe?"
Professor Umbridge asked Snape.
"Yes," said Snape quietly.
"But you were unsuccessful?"
Snape's lip curled.
"Obviously."
Professor Umbridge scribbled on her clipboard.
"And you have applied regularly for the Defense Against the Dark Arts post since you first joined the school, I believe?"
"Yes,"
said Snape quietly, barely moving his lips. He looked very angry.
"Do you have any idea why Dumbledore has consistently refused to appoint you?"
asked Umbridge.
"I suggest you ask him," said Snape jerkily.
"Ooh, I shall,"
said Professor Umbridge with a sweet smile.
"I suppose this is relevant,"
Snape asked, his black eyes narrowed.
"Ooh, yes,"
said Professor Umbridge.
"Yes, the Ministry wants a thorough understanding of teachers' backgrounds."
She turned away, walked over to Pansy Parkinson and began questioning her about the lessons. Snape looked around at Harry and their eyes met for a second. Harry hastily dropped his gaze to his potion, which was now congealing foully and giving off a strong smell of burned rubber.
"No marks again then, Potter,"
said Snape maliciously, emptying Harry's cauldron with a wave of his wand.
"You will write me an essay on the correct composition of this potion, indicating how and why you went wrong, to be handed in next lesson. Do you understand?"
"Yes," said Harry furiously. Snape had already given them homework, and he had Quidditch practice this evening. This would mean another couple of sleepless nights. It did not seem possible that he had awoken that morning feeling very happy. All he felt now was a fervent desire for this day to end as soon as possible.